I want to give you a new word. It's Christian-ish. I want to start by defining it because we're starting a new message series called Christian-ish. What does it mean to be Christian-ish? It's having a half-hearted faith, wearing the label of Christianity without truly following Jesus. Is having a half-hearted faith. It's like being Christian in name only. It's like almost Christian, sort of Christian. It's Christian-ish. And I would say very honestly, to be Christian-ish is to kind of embrace a superficial, watered-down version of Christianity. It's where you have enough of Jesus that it makes you feel better, but not so much of Jesus that it changes anything in your life. Welcome to church, where I'm here to make you feel better about your faith. A seminary professor years ago said, "A role of an effective pastor is to comfort those who are afflicted and to afflict those who are comfortable." So if you're a little bit comfortable today, I want to push you and believe that you can be closer to Jesus and more effective for His kingdom than ever before. We're going to look at God's Word today in Revelation 3. And early in the book of Revelation, Jesus gave custom messages to seven different churches. One of the churches that he was speaking to was the church in Laodicea. And when he talked to the Laodicean people, he didn't hold back, didn't pull any punches. Let's look at the whole text together. Revelation 3, starting in verse 15, Jesus said this. He said, "I know your deeds." In other words, I know your good works. And he says, "You are neither hot nor cold." Jesus says, "I wish you were one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." Jesus said, he goes on to say, "You say I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, and I don't need a thing. But you don't realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." Jesus goes on to say, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline." So, what do you do? He says, "So be earnest and repent." Then Jesus says, it's so powerful, he says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." Jesus says, "I'd rather you be hot or cold, but if you are lukewarm," Jesus says, what's he going to do? "I'm going to vomit you up." Jesus is not playing. To give you a little context of why Jesus brought this kind of spiritual intensity, Laodicea was one of the wealthiest cities in the Roman Empire. And 35 years prior to this message, the whole region was destroyed by this massive earthquake. And so the Laodiceans did something that was very different for that time. They, on their own, without any help of any neighboring cities, normally, if there'd be a city go through a disaster, their friends and other people would come in and help them. But completely on their own, the Laodiceans rebuilt the entire city with these lavish theaters and stadiums and these public baths and shopping centers. Think Las Vegas or think Dubai. It was similar to that. And so when Jesus says into this very wealthy, self-sufficient community, when he says, "You're lukewarm," the agony of being lukewarm would have been striking to the Laodiceans, because with all of their wealth and with all of their comfort, they had one very big problem. And the problem is they had a very inadequate water supply. So in Laodicea, in order to get water, you had to pipe it in from one of two places. You had to get it from Hierapolis or Colossae. And I'll show you on the map the problem. You got Laodicea on the bottom left. Hierapolis is about 6 miles away. Colossae about 10 miles away. Hierapolis, you can remember, think this, H stands for hot. Colossae, remember, think C for cold. Okay, so from Hierapolis, they would actually pipe in hot water, which had a purpose. The hot water from the hot springs was famous for its healing purposes. And from Colossae, they would pipe in the cold water through these kind of nasty old aqueduct piping systems. And the problem is, by the time the hot water got all the way to Laodicea, it had cooled. And by the time the cold water got all the way to Laodicea, it was tepid. The water was lukewarm. It was often contaminated. And guess what it did to the people? It made them sick, right? So Jesus says, you're like that. You're lukewarm. You're not hot. You're not cold. You're not serving any real purpose. And that makes me sick. Now, the spiritual interpretation for lukewarm is occasionally misunderstood. When Jesus says, hey, you're not hot, you're not cold, he wasn't just about spiritual passion. He was also talking about spiritual purpose and spiritual impact. Because the hot water had a purpose. Its purpose was to heal. The cool water had a purpose. Its purpose was to cleanse. Jesus was saying, you are not fulfilling your purpose. Now, may I say to some of you humbly and with a heart to heal and bring you hope, God has given you specialized personal gifts. You're good at certain things. You're good with people. You're others oriented. You're more generous than others. You know how to organize. You like to serve. You got something about you that's different. And if you didn't use what God gave you to fulfill your spiritual purpose, creating the spiritual impact to make a difference, then Jesus might say you are lukewarm. And when he says lukewarm, the word in the Greek is the word emeo. And this word is very, very strong word. Literally what this word means is it means to vomit, to throw up, to spew out forcefully. Those of you that's ever had a baby, if you ever fed your baby and then you lay down on the floor on your back and you play with your baby like this, they'll likely projectile vomit in your face. Emeo, it means projectile vomit. It conveys a strong visceral response where God says, I'm vomiting you out. God can't stomach comfortable Christianity. It's not just undesirable to God, it's intolerable. Christian-ish. It suggests this half-hearted, convenient, comfortable commitment to receive the benefits of Jesus without fully surrendering to the call of Jesus. And it suggests this half-hearted faith that is so repugnant to God that it provokes a visceral reaction. And Jesus says this, Revelation 3:17, he says, "You who say I'm rich and I've acquired wealth," and in our culture, that would be like you have an iPhone and you can order Amazon, click buy anytime you want because you are rich. I mean, you are rich. You don't feel rich, but you are rich. You eat three meals a day. You drove a car here. You got a computer. You've got a phone. You're rich. That's rich. I mean, you're so rich, you've got a house for your cars. You drive up and park your cars in a little house. You call it a garage. You have a house for your cars. You're rich. You say, "I'm rich. I've acquired wealth, and I don't need a thing. I don't need God in, I don't need a thing." But you don't realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Maybe you know someone who thinks they don't need anything from God. Or maybe you're one of those people who think, "I don't really need anything from God. I've got what I need. I'm a good person. No one has the right to tell me how to live. I don't need some outdated, irrelevant religion to make me feel better about myself." And maybe you don't need anything from God until you do. Until you get a bad medical report and you weren't a person of prayer the day before, but you might feel like praying on that day, right? Or until your spouse leaves you and you got nowhere to turn. Or until you lose a relationship with a child and you feel lost and broken and hopeless because you don't have a relationship with the person that you gave birth to. Or on the other hand, you finally get what you wanted. Everything that you wanted. You get it all. You wanted the job, or you wanted the blue check mark. You wanted the six-figure income. You wanted the house, the car, the boat, the vacation, whatever it is. And you get all that. And you realize, now finally, I have what I want. I'm now comfortable on the outside, but I'm still empty on the inside. And you realize, oh my gosh, I mean, I do have so much of what I want. I'm rich in things, but I'm poor in spirit. And I want to look at that verse again, verse 17, when Jesus said, "You don't realize, you may not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." You don't realize. What if you're lukewarm and you didn't realize it? What if you're not fulfilling your God-ordained purpose? You don't even realize it. What if you think, "I'm okay. I'm a spiritual person. I mean, I believe in God and everything. I must be okay." And you don't realize that you're spiritually wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. A lukewarm Christian-ish faith is perhaps the ultimate self-deception. It's enough of Jesus to soothe your conscience, but not enough to make you born anew? What if you're lukewarm and you don't even know it? Christian-ish. How do you know if you're lukewarm? I'll give you 5 signs to suggest you might be lukewarm. The first thing, 1, is this. You might be lukewarm if you crave acceptance from people more than acceptance from God. More than trying to live a life that's truly pleasing to God, you actually just want to be liked by people. You want to fit in. You want to be popular. You want everybody to like you. You want to belong. You want to go along with the crowd. Because it's easier to go along with the crowd than to stand out by doing something that Jesus calls you to do. But remember what Jesus said. Jesus said this. He said, "Woe to you when everyone else speaks well of you." Because if you're truly following Jesus, you will be persecuted. You may be lukewarm if you crave acceptance from people more than you do acceptance from God. The second thing is, you may be lukewarm if you rationalize sin. If there's sin in your life, there's something in your life that's displeasing and dishonorable, and you just kind of explain it away like it's no big deal. You know, hey, everyone else is doing it anyway. And it's nobody's business at all. I mean, you know, I can do what I want, not hurting anybody. And Isaiah said this, "Woe to those people who call good evil and those who call evil good." You may be lukewarm and not even realize it if you're rationalizing and explaining away sin. A third indicator may be you may be lukewarm is this: you rarely share your faith in Christ. You say, "Oh yeah, I'm Christian. I believe in Jesus and all that. And I know I'm called to be a light in the world, but that's just not my gift. I just don't talk about my faith. I don't want to offend people. I'm not very good at it. I'm good at other things. And so I don't even share my faith." Some of you are so timid with your faith that you've worked with people for years, and they might be surprised to find out you're truly following Jesus. You rarely share your faith in Christ. You don't want to offend people. 4 indicator that you may be lukewarm is that you only turn to God when you need something. God's like your emergency 911 call, right? And instead of seeking Him daily, instead of letting His Spirit guide you, instead of letting His Word build your faith and renew your mind, you call on Him when you're in trouble. He's a tool in your toolbox. It's something that we use instead of a God that we fear and we worship. You may be lukewarm if God is someone you call on just when you need Him. And then finally, you may be lukewarm if you're not much different from this world. You call yourself a Christian, but you talk like you're not. You gossip just like everybody else at work. You cuss, maybe even take the Lord's name in vain. You're critical of other people. You're judgmental with your words. You watch the same shows on Netflix or Hulu that take God's name in vain and have horrible stuff that's dishonoring to God. And you rationalize it. And you rationalize your sins. And you say, it's not that big a deal. Maybe you live for the things of this world. You're living for money and fighting for money and success. And you claim Jesus, but your actions say that you love the world. What if you're lukewarm and you don't even realize it? You claim Jesus, and yet you love the world. And John said in 1 John 2:15, he said, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them." So you may say, okay, you're coming out swinging. I feel a little bit convicted. Is Jesus mad at me? Well, let me promise you, Jesus loves you more than you can imagine. And when Jesus called the Laodiceans lukewarm, he wasn't trying to shame them. He wasn't trying to make them feel guilty. He was actually loving them. Because this is what Jesus said. Again, let's look at the text. Chapter 3, 19, verse 19, he said, "I correct and discipline everyone I love. I'm not angry. I corrected and I discipline everyone I love." You know, if you have a child, your child does something, you correct your child. It's not because you don't love your child. You correct your child because you love your child. If you feel convicted by the Holy Spirit right now, it's not because God is mad at you. It's because God is loving you. Jesus says this, "So what do you do? Be diligent and turn from your indifference." That word, indifference, is striking because if there's one word that captures where a lot of Christian people would be when it comes to the things of God, they're just indifferent. Take it if it helps, leave it if it doesn't. Call on Jesus when I need him and live comfortably when I don't. So how do you turn? How do you be diligent and turn? How do you grow from being Christian-ish? If you find yourself there, what do you do? Well, I got good news for you. I'm going to give you one thing. One thing. Keep it as simple as I can. If you want to grow out of your Christian-ish illusion, self-deception, and truly be a devoted follower of Jesus, what do you do? I would suggest this one thing. Do something every day that requires faith. That's it. Do something every day that requires you to trust in Jesus. Do something every day. For you, it might be to do what's right, even if your friends make fun of you. Or it might be for you to worship God when you don't feel like he's even near. And just by faith, you worship him. It might be to forgive someone. You just came through the holidays, and some of you, we call ourselves Christians, and we're not even in relationship with people, family, friends, because of something they did or how they let you down. It might be to forgive someone who hurt you, as Jesus teaches us. Might be to invite someone to church, to share your faith, to be a witness. It might be to give sacrificially above the tithe. For some of you, it might be to tithe for the very first time. It takes faith to tithe. It might be to pray and ask God to do something that seems completely impossible. I would say do something that requires faith, because Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Every day, do something that requires faith. And if you do something that requires faith, you won't be Christian-ish. If you can't be Christian-ish, you won't be lukewarm. You won't be tepid. Your faith will be hot because you're serving people and you're glorifying God. And when you're doing something that requires faith, and when you're depending on God, suddenly you're not concerned with what people think. You're more concerned with what God thinks. And you're living for His approval to glorify Him above anything else. And instead of rationalizing your sins, you confess your sins. And God says, when you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the will of God. And instead of hiding your faith, you're bold in your faith. You're sharing the truth of who Jesus is and what He's done. The power of the gospel to save. And you don't only turn to God when you need something. You prioritize Him. You seek Him first in all things. You design your life around Him. And you're not like this world. You're different. And people know it. And some will criticize you for it. And others will respect it and be drawn to it. You're not Christian-ish. You're dead to yourself. You're alive in Christ. And so if you find out, I might be a little bit lukewarm and I didn't realize it, what do? Well, you open the door and you let Jesus in. Jesus said this. He said, look, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, Jesus says, I will come in and I'll share a meal together with you as friends. He says, I stand at the door and knock. I'm wanting you to let me in. I'm wanting you to let me in. When Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock, in the Greek, He uses what's known as the perfect tense. And it indicates a continuous action. I'm knocking and I'm still knocking. I want you to see this. Jesus opened a door for you. And on the other side of that door is the life that God has for you. Jesus has opened a door that no man can close. And He's keeping the door open. No matter what you've done, no matter how comfortable you may be, His door is open to you. So what do? You walk through the door. And when you walk through the door, you go all in. And we're not asking God to make us comfortable. We're asking God to make us faithful. We're seeking Him with everything in us. And we're not going to embrace the faith that is more about our comfort than our commitment to the King of Kings and the Lord of all Lords. As a follower of Jesus, we're not going to settle for a faith that looks the part but lacks the power. We're going to refuse to live for a faith that feels safe because we're not going to be a comfortable Christian. Lukewarm. It doesn't just grieve God but it robs you from the life that God wants for you, the purpose for which God created you. And so what's Jesus asking for? He's continuing to knock, knock, knock. He didn't want half your heart, part of your heart, a little bit of your heart. Whatever's convenient, he wants all of your heart. Holding nothing back. He says, die to yourself, deny yourself, and let your life reflect the one who left heaven and came to earth and shed his blood so you could live forever. Jesus is standing at the door and he's knocking, and he's still knocking. And no man can shut the door that Jesus opened. And he's saying, will you come in? Will you let me in? And together we'll have the life that God created you to have. So, if you don't realize it, but you might be lukewarm, what are you going to do? We're going to do something every day that requires faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And more than anything else, what do we want to do? We want to please God with who we are and all that we do. So Holy Spirit, stir within us to be the people that you created us to be. Today I want to talk to those of you that you know that you're a Christian. You really are a Christian. You're not just Christian-ish, but you know you're a Christian, and yet you become a little bit comfortable. If you want to step out of that to stir up your faith, I'm going to challenge you this week, 7 days, every day this week, write it down, put it in your phone, put it somewhere. I'm going to do something that requires faith. If that's you today, you're a Christian, you don't want to be comfortable, every day this week, God, you're going to look for the moment, at least one time, maybe multiple times, you're going to do something that requires faith. I want to do something that requires faith. Every day, I want to do something.